ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Every day, we use tools that were invented long ago, created to solve problems to make life a little easier. And in their time, they were nothing short of revolutionary. But somewhere along the way, those breakthroughs became background, familiar, ordinary, things we barely notice at all. This show is about bringing those stories back into focus, uncovering the ingenuity behind the everyday, and finding a sense of wonder in the things we take for granted. This is Extraordinary Everyday. I'm Anthony Burke. It sits there quietly beside the knife and spoon, rarely demanding attention. But the fork hasn't always looked or behaved the way it does today. From scandal to standard issue, this small piece of design has shaped how we eat and how we gather. Today we're looking at the fork and how design turned etiquette into everyday habit. Darius von Guttner is a professor of history at the Australian Catholic University and our resident expert in all things fork. Darius, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
Let's start at the beginning. Like, when was the first known fork and where did it come from?
Goodness, I mean, the story is so, well, on one hand is very vague because we have some archaeological evidence coming from China from a couple of thousand years ago where we have evidence of utensils very similar to the fork we would kind of recognize today being used in kitchens to cook. So archaeologists are telling us, oh, goodness gracious, fork was already there. And this is one of those intrigue stories because we think about chopsticks as being a Chinese kind of the tool for your normal kind of food consumption, the etiquette and the table. But here we've got a fork that is in the kitchen. And here, of course, is the funny part of the story. It's not yet the utensil used for the table. It's very much a tool. So we are looking at evidence that shows us there are forks made out of bone, forks made out of metal, early China. And then we see how perhaps by the Silk Route, it travels west. It's traveled west, and it's going to, of course, change the history of the human consumption and behavior.
When did people actually start eating with a fork?
Good question. And again, we've got a little bit of speculation here. Perhaps 1,500 years ago, perhaps maybe 2,000 years ago, but we've got this transition between Middle East and Byzantium. So the New Rome seemed to be the first place where this transition from kitchen to the table, to dining, is very evident for us. We have the fork that becomes a symbol of sophisticated manners at the court. And, you know, this is something that I find very, very funny. We've got two emperors. We've got the Holy Roman Emperor in the west of Europe, and we've got Byzantine Emperor, so the heir of the culture of Roman Empire. In west, they refuse to use it with the fork. They think that it's very feminine. But in Byzantium, they don't have a problem with this at all. And again, the bridge, which is an interesting bridge culturally, is a Byzantine princess, Theophanu, that marries one of the Holy Roman Emperors and brings that fork with her. But again, it spreads westward, but it is a kind of elite tool. She eats at the table. She's being seen as being, well, eccentric, I would say. But again, there are some people that starting imitating her. But it's widely also in the Middle East, the circulation of the fork. We have evidence that some Persian nobility used something very similar to fork. And it was considered that, you know, you ate delicate things with a delicate tool. So there is a little bit of that happening there. And it doesn't seem to be a problem for the cultures of the Islamic world and that wider Byzantine area to actually adopt forks. There's a beautiful thing about craftsmen creating elegant forks. So we've got bronze forks from about 9th century in Persia. Now they are in France, in Louvre Museum. But a brilliant, brilliant example of how art is already picking up. It's a delicate tool, no longer in the kitchen, but on a table. It becomes a utensil. This is something to be used, aspired, cherished, and, you know, caressed. It's a beautiful work of art.
There's this relationship, though, between the evolution of the fork and the invention of pasta, I understand. What's going on there?
Oh, gosh, you know, where do we start? I mean, it's such a fabulous story. You know, do you eat pasta just with the fork? Do you need a spoon to help yourself with it? Look, think about it this way. Spaghetti, for example, it's not an Italian invention as such. It comes from the noodles with Marco Polo from Asia, right? But slightly earlier, a Byzantine princess arrives in Venice. She's marrying the Doge of Venice, and she brings with her her fork. And what happens there? Someone looks at her using that utensil at the table during a ceremonial banquet, and some churchmen are saying, goodness gracious, this is the work and art of the Satan. This is the work of devil. So we know that the princess did not choke on her meal, that she continued to use the fork. But this moral outrage, this scandalous, you know, this is the fork, this is the trident of devil. Nonetheless, it becomes an Italian tool, Italian elite tool of choice to use with your food. And maybe not really spaghetti as such, but everything else, eating fruit with a fork. Fork then comes as a companion to knife and, of course, to the spoon. But it is now very well entrenched by the Renaissance period, early modern history, in Italian table culture.
This is fascinating. I mean, it seems like women are doing all the heavy lifting in kind of bringing the fork, you know, like traveling with it and bringing it to new frontiers, if you like, and introducing it to new societies and nationalities and sticking with it.
Very much so. This is another example of how transmission of ideas, how culture travels from nation to nation, from region to region, and that women, very often those elite women that marry into different parts of the world, bring those innovations with them. One of the first examples is Bona Sforza, daughter of the Duke of Milan, and Isabella of Naples. She marries King of Poland and the Grand Duke of Lithuania. And for the first time in history of Lithuania, in Vilnius, at her court, fork is being used for dining. She brings that kind of culture and custom to her new realm. I mean, she brought quite a lot of other things, like foodstuffs, things out of Italy to Poland and Lithuania. But a couple of decades later, after her death, the fork travels with Catherine de' Medici to France. Catherine becomes Queen of France, Queen Consort of France. And a similar thing happens. She introduces the fork, and yet she's being looked at as if she was a white peacock. Her son is very often laughed at too. He's the one, Henry III, who becomes elected King of Poland, travels back to France to assume his throne in France. And then they are laughing at him, saying, why are you using fork? Oh, well, it's not a, you know, not a surprise to us. You dress like a girl, so you're using a girly instrument. This is what is reported from the court of France.
And so when did the fork make its way into English, let's call it upper class, upper echelons of fine dining? When did the fork make its arrival there?
I suspect France and England, even though we think that about them as being divided by a 100-year war, they're very close. The relationship between the court of France and court of England is very, very close. I suspect the fork travels very early on, probably in the 16th century, across the Channel. In the 17th century, is far more popular, but again, it becomes this extravagant display of finesse and elegance and manners, and the common folk are laughing at others. You know, why would you be eating with the fork if you can eat with your hands? I mean, that's what men do. Men eat with their hands, and they enjoy the meat, and they enjoy everything else. But I think it's shown that Italian habit of eating every meal with fork rather than with hands seem to be slowly being adopted. There are manuals published about the customs And I think there is the phrase used that the fork is very unmanly, that it is Italian affectation. And I think this is early from the 17th century where this kind of phrases are entering publications in England. And look, there must be a lot of humor with this as well, too, because there are new words being created. You know, you are thurcifer, you are the fork bearer, you are a rascal eating in this unmanly way. So the fork habit is polluting the Albion, the glorious island now, and it's getting more and more into the English habits of everyday eating.
I had no idea the fork was so sinister.
It is. I imagine those, tines, whether you have two or three or four. Goodness gracious, how sinister indeed.
So at what point then did that all normalize? We were talking about we got more or less to the 17th century there. Like at what point did it then become acceptable for the average household to start using fork at the dining table?
It really, I think, comes with the popular habit of, for example, people eating in restaurants that develops, eating outside your own home, especially for those new growing professional classes that no longer staff fully, the full household of servants and cooks and people that would actually facilitate eating at home, but they go out. Forks are mass-produced. The new metal alloys allow this. And this is where the kind of popularization of eating with fork becomes, this is something new, something that I think lower classes slowly aspire to, but also growth of the middle class, that professional class with doctors and lawyers and accountants, that urban middle class that is observing the manners of the upper classes and they simply replicate it. So I think end of the 19th century, early 20th century, this is where all of this is not just no longer a spoon, no longer one singular tool on the table or one singular utensil. Everyone is getting their own. I mean, revolution.
Love it. So, all right, let's look a little further forward then. I mean, we've had different types of forks over time. And I'm thinking now, of course, and I don't know whether I should say this word in front of you, the spork. Is this a word that we're comfortable with or we...
Heresy. Yeah.
So what I've learned from this conversation is A, that the fork is diabolical, B, that we need to get rid of our table manners because there is no such thing, and C, I should rid my drawer of all my sporks and splades because they are heresy.
Definitely. You see, we used to burn people for less, and and so you need to be very, very careful. You better behave. So I really enjoyed it. This is a brilliant conversation.
Oh, wonderful. That's fantastic. Darius, that's brilliant. Professor Darius von Guttner, historian of East and Central Europe at the Australian Catholic University. For more episodes like this, head to ABC Listen and follow the show. Just search Anthony Burke's By Design.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.